can't get up for this kind of game. Lord have mercy.
Trip Live Radio presents the Steelers Roundtable with Trip Steelers writers Mark Cabali, Ralph Polk, and Chris Adamski. We talk Steelers 365 days a year. The best Steelers coverage is on Trib Live Radio. The Steelers Roundtable starts now.
Good morning, Pittsburgh, and the Steelers fans across the country, and there are many. Oh. I'm Ralph Polka, joined in studio by my Steelers beat writer and my colleagues, Mark Cabali and Chris Adamski.
I like that opening there. You threw a little twist in there, Ralph, with the good morning, Pittsburgh, and around the world.
And around the world. Because there are so many Steelers fans everywhere.
I thought you would just go with good morning from Pittsburgh.
And yet I'm always surprised by the number of no-shows at Heinz Field. But that's another question. Anyway, you know, I tell you guys, we got to start because I must confess that I was absolutely stunned, especially in the second half, in a way. You know, the Steelers handled the Arizona Cardinals in their 25-13 victory on Sunday. But there's a part of me that wasn't nearly as surprised to see Landry Jones come in and replace Mike Vick, and play relatively well. I mean for a kid and a lot of times what young players do who haven't had an opportunity to play, it was his first time taking a snap in a pro game in his three seasons, and they play on adrenaline sometimes. But I thought the thing that really impressed me more than anything else about Landry Jones was the discipline in which he played. You know, going through his progressions, making the right calls, making the right throws. He threw two touchdown passes to Martavis Bryant, who was making his first appearance, you know, this season after his four-game suspension and then not playing in the first game back against San Diego. There were a number of things that we could take out of this game.
Cut to the chase. I know what you're saying here. You're saying you're shocked that this guy can throw the ball.
No, is that what you're saying? No, I'm somewhat surprised that he got through the game without making mistakes. And I think we've seen this kid in practice. We've seen him in preseason games. And we're all asking ourselves, what is the deal? Why did they take him, you know, with the third or fourth pick, whatever it was?
My question is, Ralph, is are we reading too much into 12 passes for a series? All of a sudden we're thinking, you know what? Landry's playing against the Chiefs. He's going to be fine. Wait a second.
Hold on, Chris, Landry Jones here. Wait a second.
Chris is playing on Twitter.
No. Listen to this. Chris was playing against one of the best defensive units in the NFL in Arizona. If it had been some team ranked low in the defense and gave up a bunch of points, I would say differently about this. I'm not saying it's going to be the Nick Ben Roethlisberger. What I'm saying is that one game, that moment in time, I thought he was very disciplined and played pretty good football.
As I said, as I wrote at one point, I think that if he'll always have that game, all right? He did what he had to do. He competed
well. That's all he'll have.
I will throw a scenario out there. Let's say, and Martavis has been known to drop a pass or two, right, over his career, as great as he's been so far in his young career. Let's say in that little slant there in the fourth quarter, he drops it. Instead of Landry Jones being 8 for 12 for 150 whatever yards and two touchdowns, all of a sudden he's 7 for 12 for about 70 yards, one touchdown. Then the Steelers punt two plays later. Arizona goes down and scores, and then all of a sudden Landry Jones is terrible. The Steelers are in trouble, and you know.
Why are you raining on Landry Jones' parade?
I'm not raining.
Mark's leaving because he really got upset about that.
He's that offended. He's like, you don't talk about Landry that way around.
Hopefully he'll come back. But anyway, there were any number of things that his game that you can take away from this. There were a couple of things you got to make quick note of. And one, you know, also Kelvin Beachum apparently or seemingly for the rest of the season with a knee injury.
Definitely not.
And then Chris Boswell, who you wrote about today, and the special teams player of the week. He was a kid who was back in Fort Worth, Texas. You know, had his heels up kicking, watching games on Sunday afternoon. He gets a call to be the Steelers' fourth kicker of the season. He makes four to four field goals, not just any field goals, Chris. We're talking 47, 48, and 51 yards. You know, and many times we'll look at this and say, wait a minute, but that's 12 points. This team won by how many points?
By 12 points.
Right? It was the difference maker. I mean, you can't continue to downplay the importance of having a good field goal kicker. And kicking, as we know in Heinz Field, you know, you get late on the season, it's going to be a very difficult thing to do. So you have to give him his kudos, you know, being poised in making those kicks.
Yeah, I mean, and there's really no – the Steelers, now they lost opening day at New England against the, you know, probably maybe the best team in football. Other than that, their only other loss was directly attributing to kicking. I mean, you can't really parse it any other way. Josh Scobie had two chances to win the game late. And not only that, Baltimore's kicker made a long field goal with ease, a 52-yarder, to end that game. It's a lot of times, you know, a player here or there, or whoever it is, your player or a play here and there, but there's really not much you can't really deny that the kicking cost them that game and
what
won Baltimore
really
that game.
What you're really saying here is that the Steelers had hired Chris Boswell a week earlier. It would be 5-1.
You know, that's the thing, too.
This dealing with ifs and nuts and candies and buzz. I don't know. But that's what you're saying.
And the crazy part is, if the Steelers would have done that and Boswell had done the same thing Scobie did, everybody'd be crushing them, saying they went with the kid, they could have signed a veteran, they could have made a trade, they got a silly sixth round pick to get this veteran, and they would have been better off. Instead, they went with this young, unproven guy, and they got what they deserve. And instead, it put it exactly the other way, where you think Josh Scobie has the long established career of accurate kicking and everything else, unflappable, you know, and all, you know, not that he played a lot of big games in Jacksonville, I guess, but he did make a big kick at Heinz Field in their only playoff game he ever won in 2007. But the point being is that it's kind of funny how. You know, these kickers, I mean, we talked about Sean Sweezen when he came to Pittsburgh. He had been cut, three or four times, different teams. Didn't see, you know, missing high-profile kicks. He seemed to be that kind of a league punchline almost. The Steelers signed him. He's become Mr. Reliable. I mean, you know, can you remember a big kick he's missed over 5.5 years?
That's right.
I can't.
Hey, well, Chris, let's go back a second now and talk about, you know, Martavis Bryant for a second. You know, because this is a kid, obviously, you know, at the beginning of the week, there was so much talk about, you know, Antonio Brown, you know, the Pro Bowl wide receiver, complaining that he's not getting enough touches. He's not getting enough, you know, he's not getting any love from Mike Vick. He wasn't getting the football. Not the way he was getting it from Ben Roethlisberger in the first four games of the season. But this is a situation where I'm not too sure what the deal is with Antonio Brown. I think we have to understand that when you bring in a different quarterback, there's a different kind of relationship. There's a different kind of chemistry that certain quarterbacks have with certain wide receivers. There just wasn't that chemistry with Vick and Brown. And I don't know what it's going to be like on Sunday when they play the Kansas City Chiefs, and we'll get into that game later. You know, but Martavis Bryant seems to be a fit for any quarterback. It doesn't seem to be. He's a fast guy. Get him out, let him go. The touchdown, 88-yard touchdown pass, I think kind of he showed his athleticism. I mean, anyways, caught the short pass. You know, he must have, I don't know, he covered 140 yards, it seemed to me, on an 88-yard touchdown pass. Is this Martavis Bryant as important to this offense as Antonio Brown? And that may be, is that a stretch or is that realistic to say that?
You know, it kind of made me wonder, a lot of the, I don't want to say criticism of Hines Ward, it's a criticism of his Hall of Fame. Of his Hall of Fame candidacy.
You could get calls.
Is, and, you know, and it's a curious case, and nationally, people could say, when was Hines Ward ever the most dynamic receiver on his own team? And there's a case to be said for that. Now, I'm not saying Antonio Brown and Hines were the same player, not at all. I mean, Antonio is a little bit in terms of his dynamicity. Is that a word? I don't, you know,
we'll go with that. Yeah.
I don't know what I'm saying. But yeah, it's, there's no doubt that Martavis is more physically imposing. He's faster. He's certainly in his a much smaller sample size. He's done it for 5 years yet, but has made a greater frequency of big plays.
You can argue that he's more explosive.
Yeah,
Antonio Brown. You can say that Antonio Brown, he catches a lot of balls.
Yeah.
And
I'm not putting that down. I mean, that's very valuable what he does.
Yeah, he's more of a possession receiver than Marcus Wheaton is in many ways.
Yeah.
But this kid is explosive. He can get the big plays. When you look at his career, we're talking, four touchdowns over 80 yards, you know, during his career.
Yeah.
And that's, as you mentioned, a very abbreviated career.
And he really has and think about even his short touchdowns, like the first touchdown on Saturday, might have been more impressive.
Right.
Think about it, 88-yard catch
great
and run.
Great throw by Landry Jones, by the way.
You're right. It's his first NFL.
So I'm pumping him up here this morning.
Completion, yes. And you know, from his very first catch against Houston last year, the same type of thing as that, back of the end zone, a foot drag. He didn't fall it out. But either way, it was
impressive.
He has this, whether it's a net, because it's hard. Listen, we know about his, the touchdown against.
Are you saying Antonio Brown can make that
catch? The touchdown against the Jets comes to mind. I'm just ignoring that. That he caught that late in the game against the Jets. Remember that game last year?
Right.
That was an 80-some yard catch. Now, that was a long bomb that's what you think of. He's a big play threat, vertical threat. You know, that's kind of the thing you talk about. That catch, the 88-yard catch this past Sunday, was a short route. that not many people are turning into a touchdown.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
To show that big play.
Especially with the speed in secondaries nowadays.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, for him to have to outrun all those people. I mean, I don't care how fast you are or what position you are, where you get the ball at or how it's delivered to you. And I have to give Landry all the credit in the world because I don't know if Mike Vick delivers that ball to him in stride.
And I think the difference, and let's shift gears here for a second. Because I want to say that, the thing that I think Landry Jones gave the offense that Mike Vick didn't in the previous two games is the fact that he stuck with the play. He went through all the progressions. He didn't get flushed out of the pocket. Or, as we probably imagined in watching him over the last couple of years, get flustered. And he kind of stayed with the play. He went with if he had a primary receiver, he went to it. He went to the secondary receiver. He didn't go to the checkoffs very often because it was, let's frank it, they were open against perhaps some of the best corners in pro football. You look at, Matthew and Patrick Peterson. The receivers were in many ways open. Even when Vic was in the game, he just didn't give him the football. That to me, I think Martavis Bryant gives his offense something that Antonio Brown doesn't. And he seems to be this may not be a scratch either, Chris, to say this. That considering the fact that Sammy Watkins was a number one pick of the Buffalo Bills, that his former teammate in Clemson may be a better wide receiver at this point in his career. He certainly seems far more durable, if nothing else.
We hate to get ahead of ourselves because, the kid's still only played 11 career games here. And so I want to – my instinct is let's pull back the rein. It's not – but it's happening all the time.
You can see it, man. How many times
– I know. And you can see the fact. You saw it during – we saw it during camp. We saw it in the exhibition – in Buffalo in the exhibition games. Yeah.
Just go with it.
And don't live in our fears.
Don't live in our fears. What we're talking about, where's Waldo? But, where's Mark? I want to say this, man. Now, let's talk a little bit about the defense. Because when we came into this game on Sunday, the talk was about the Arizona defense and the obvious problems that the Steelers will have, specifically trying to throw the football and maybe even run the football. This was a very good, offense, the third best rushing offense in the league. I guess the Steelers, they rushed for 55 yards. This is a the defensive front, and I got to give kudos to that defensive front. I've been saying that, that Cam Hayward has to make a few more plays. That Cam Hayward can continue to just hold folks up at the line of scrimmage and not get pressure, not make plays. And I thought that Stephon Tuitt had really progressed ahead of him. Well, on Sunday, I saw Cam Hayward was the Cam Hayward that everyone expected to be when he was the number one draft pick.
Be a $60 million man.
And I might be tipping my hand on ups and downs later on in this show.
Hey, anyway, what have you guys been talking about?
We have no idea. Oh, he comes in back, like he's been gone for 15 minutes. Anyway,
I'm putting together
an
award-winning Sunday story that I don't want to give away.
And okay. Right.
I'll give you a little hint. I just got a call and it came from New Mexico, so. I had to take it.
You know anybody in Mexico?
I don't know anybody from New Mexico, Landry Jones.
Anyway, we're going to talk about this a little more.
What are you talking about? Landry's in New Mexico?
We've
gone past Martavis Bryant. We've gone past Landry Jones. We talked about Chris Boswell. And now we're on the defense.
I wanted to talk about Landry Jones how he's going to stink
us. No, that time has passed. But let's go to the defense, though.
Maybe you're down.
I thought this defense, we mentioned that the Arizona defense was the one that's supposed to get all the talk, they were going to do this, going to do that, but it was the Steelers defense that stood up. We're talking about interceptions by Timmons, interception by, Mike Mitchell. Mike Mitchell got a fumble recovery on a James Harrison forced fumble on a play that, in a trip, we call it, the play of the game. And in many ways, they kind of shift the momentum.
Pumping his story up. But.
Indeed. 5 days later.
Oh, you just came from your award-winning interview from New Mexico. Ooh, I get phone calls from New Mexico at 9 a.m.
You take them when you can get them. You know that, Buzz.
Yeah.
But anyway, since you're back.
You're in the mall. You're in a car.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Your thoughts on the Steelers
on
defense.
On the defense. I'm in a very negative mood today. I don't know why.
Oh, yeah. Because
there were a lot of negative guys.
Usually Mr. Positive.
I'm negative about Landry
Rainbows
Jones.
And puppies.
Negative about Landry Jones, just because he had four series doesn't mean he's going to do squat. He's still Landry Jones. And I'm not sold on the defense because you can't keep giving up 400 yards passing and think you're going to win the game unless you do what you said. Turnover, turnover, turnover.
sack, or red zone defense. And that's the only thing that's keeping them where they are. You don't see too many times that teams ranked, I don't know what they are now, 26th overall in pass defense, but 5th in total points. You don't see that very often. The reason why they're doing that, they're playing situational football well. They're turning the ball over, but you know how fast those things go.
Football.
You know how fast those things.
That term bothers me for some reason.
I've been hanging around Mike Tomlin too much, but it can turn real quick, and that's what they're relying on right now. I don't know if you can keep giving up 400 yards.
You know,
350
the old adage
is,
you know, you're bending but you're not breaking. There have been defenses in this league. Look, what was the Patriots ranked defensively when they won the Super Bowl?
Probably not good.
No, they weren't. When they played the Giants, they weren't ranked very high.
But can you continue to do this?
They're just an average defensive unit. I think the Steelers or
I'm not saying they're not playing well, but I think it might catch up to them eventually. What about Antoine Blake? He got a freaking hand injury. What's he going to do now? He got, I don't want to say exposed, he got picked on hard against Arizona. According to Buzzsaw's website of Pro Football Focus, I think he gave up like 13 receptions for like 170 yards. My goodness. I mean, I know he had a pick six. I like Antoine Blake. I like Antoine Blake, but he definitely got picked on by the Cardinals.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. There's no doubt about that. But still, you know, I think at some point, you know, the defense rallied in the situations. But, you know, here the thing is, Buzz, before you make your comments on defense. I want to say this before I forget because
he's
I tend
just
to.
Looking up stats.
Here the situation is. We keep saying, and at least I've been saying, that the Steelers went to St. Louis and played a team that beat itself. You know, they went to San Diego and they played a team that beat itself. They come to Arizona, and Arizona gets 10 penalties over 100, almost 100 yards in the first half. Again, a team that beat itself. When are you going to stop saying that these teams are beating themselves and that the Steelers are beating them and making them play poorly?
Teams, I mean, be honest.
Which one is it?
These are games that they would lose. And that's sometimes the difference between a good team and a very good team is winning the games you probably shouldn't have won.
And they shouldn't have won any.
You could probably say three of those games they probably shouldn't have won. I mean, you could have lost St. Louis. Maybe should have if Kendrick's kid drops the ball. You probably shouldn't have lost San Diego. And last week, you know, penalties.
Dropped three interceptions.
You could have won them all, too. But good teams find ways to win. And they're finding ways. I mean, last year, how many times did we talk last year? Oh, they lost to another team that's below 500.
Did you say it like that?
Probably really high voice.
Oh, yeah. They had more than 230 yards of offense than the Cardinals did to the Steelers in the first half.
They've still lost to a team this year. It's 1-5 right now that they only win. So I don't think they got Baltimore.
Another 1-5 team, which, you know, this is not going to be easy game Sunday. Everybody thinks, here's his voice again. This is me trying to tell you something.
You need a little macho.
This is like somebody else saying. No. They're saying, you know, this
Chris,
is easy.
You get to the defense,
Kansas City sucks.
I don't know what he's talking
about.
I didn't talk
for 20 minutes. I get to talk now. Kansas City stinks because they're 1-5. Their offense is awful. They can't move the ball. Their defense is banged up. Steelers are going to roll in there because Landry Jones completed 8 passes for 2 touchdowns the other day. So the Steelers, forget Ben. We don't need him. We got Landry, and we're going to win this game. This game's going to be tough, and I might even tell you right now, I think they're going to lose this game, Buzz.
I wouldn't be surprised at all if they lost the game. And if they did lose the game and they're 4-3, we started when Ben Roethlisberger went out and said, if they're 500 when Ben comes back.
You said that on me.
You don't think so? You don't agree if they're – well, see, I just did a high voice too because I'm just
– Ralph does a high voice. I'm leaving.
I'm just saying.
Chipmunk thing, buddy.
If they lose this week, they'll be 2-2 without their quarterback.
Is that your coffee there, McCafe?
Yeah,
Why'd you go McCafe?
I had
this is why you guys have a high voice. You're drinking iced coffee. Come on, man up. Get some hot coffee.
Hot eventually turns into ice.
I remember.
Our producer here, Mike Barker. Do we have any hot coffee, Mike?
You want some hot coffee?
You got drunk in the show.
Don't get it from the machine downstairs.
Anyway, what are you saying, Chris?
Toilet water.
Before he
ruined it. Awful.
I don't know where I'm going. I just think the defense – it amazes me that the defense for the final couple of years, and I probably made this point on this show even, that was sort of the opposite. It was the break but don't bend defense where it would be ranked really high in yardage.
He said that a couple weeks ago.
It would allow these big plays.
Break but don't bend.
And allow – they'd be ranked very highly in yardage, but yet you watched them and you didn't think they were that good. Now they're ranked very poorly in yardage, and you watch them. I'm not saying they look that good, but I think if you watch them throughout the games, they're preventing points. You feel like they're making plays. They're not allowing their run defense. It isn't 2008's run defense, but and I know running defense
San Diego
isn't
gave
as much,
up against them. Arizona basically gave up.
Well, but I think
too.
That's partially because they weren't getting anywhere with it. And that's and you know you could say the value in 2015 of starting on a running game isn't what it used to be 10 years ago, 15, 30 years ago for sure. But the Steelers are doing that now,
hey,
which is
Sass,
what they used
what
to
are
do
they
during
in total
the-
yards ranked wise. Because if you're giving up 27th in pass and you're 5th in rush, you're 14th overall, I'll take it. You know who I thought played well? I probably should have made my up arrow, but whatever, I don't care. Mike Mitchell, I think, finally taken that step past of, you know, he struggled last year, and is he going to be able to perform? I think he's having a very solid season. And I think what makes him tough is we don't things you don't really notice in the box score and some of these open field tackles he makes. He's the last line of defense. He better, you know, those aren't easy things to make, and I think he's been pretty good at that.
You know,
that was a game changer. They were going to lose if he doesn't make that pick intercept. They were going to lose.
23rd in total yards. 23rd ranked defense.
But
overall.
They're 5th in total points. Yeah. Typically, that would be flipped.
Exactly.
They would give up. Whoa, they're giving up 29 points.
And since you mentioned Mike Mitchell,
he's been playing well.
Let's talk about something that was clearly something the team has been talking about in the locker room. And Mike Mitchell mentioned this, is that, you know, we don't think we get enough respect. You know, is that, and I think that's what kind of drives him more than anything, is that people don't think that he's as good as he says he is. You know, and that this defense isn't as good as, you know, they keep trying to convince themselves that they are. You know, I think it's an okay defense, like you said, Mark, not a great defense. Is this what's driving them now? Is that, you know, the rest of the league think they're just average or below average?
Is this for me or Ralph?
Either one of you.
I think we said at the very beginning of the season that and I'm not saying the defense is striving to be average. I mean, they probably want to be, but I think the Steelers when Roethlisberger said, now you're down two linemen now. Eventually, there's a point where there's a breaking point. If there's another lineman, then that doesn't matter anymore. The offense can't be super dynamic, and we'll see how we even talked about Alejandro Villanueva yet, and that'll be a big part of the team going forward is what happens with him. But that being said, this offense, with Martavis back healthy, when Ben gets back, we've seen slices of this offense is good enough. All the defense has to be is average. And it could be, I mean, the 07 Patriots, whatever. They're not going to be as good at offense, that good. But they're going to be good enough offense. They're going to win a lot of games. The defense is just okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been better than okay in a lot of ways, even though the 23rd rank, even though they're giving up 400-some yards a game. It's, you know, I don't know. I'm sure a analytics guy would say the Steelers are getting lucky. They're giving up all these yards.
Whoa. And there's no such thing as luck in analytics.
They have been
you
fortunate,
that,
though.
Right?
We may use the word lucky, but fortunate that the offense has been just you're below average and the defense has played very well or made huge plays. I mean, they've gone now four consecutive games, so they're forced to turnover. And, you know, we can't.
Oh, last year they probably went half the season without forcing a turnover.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, you know, they're making plays. Yeah. You know, this term splash plays I always thought was kind of overused. Yeah, but the thing is they're making things
we're
happen defensively.
Tomlin
you
know, is over the place today.
Here, let's talk a second now because I want to point out something that I was tracking this over the first three quarters. You guys seem totally distracted, but anyway.
I'm reading his digits over here.
I'm trying to find something.
You know, negative two.
Le'Veon Bell had at some point between in the first three quarters, he had six runs that either had no gain or lost yards. And then you lose Calvin Beecham. Now, is this a concern going forward, you know, Chris and Mark? When you look at what's Le'Veon Bell is a good running back. I don't take anything from him, obviously. But I'm saying there are just too many. There are just too many run plays. They absolutely got nothing.
I don't know.
No push by the offensive line.
But can we blame that on the offensive line and Le'Veon Bell, or do we blame that on 9.5 people in the box because Mike Vick can't throw his way out of a paper bag?
Well, this is what happened before they put folks in the box. This has been going on now, I think, since he's been back. And what I'm saying is that there's one thing to look at the offensive line and kind of surge you get, you know, you get in the interior. And the other part is, and Buzz wrote about this on Sunday, about his style.
I didn't read it.
And it was an excellent piece, by the way, Chris. The way he picks his way through, he cuts, he's looking, he's reading blocks. And sometimes when you're that style of runner, if you're reading blocks, you're having a hard time getting to the hole. And I think that's part of, that's the negative side of his style of running, is that instead of getting to the spot, everything closes up by the time you're searching for one.
I'm not at all comparing them in any way, positive or negatively, when I say this. But it's a Barry Sanders element to it, where every game this season he has a 22-yard gain at least. That's four straight. I read somewhere, and I'm sorry I'm not crediting it properly, or they didn't even the stat number, that he has more carries of 20-plus yards than anybody in the league. And remember, he missed the first two games.
But let me stop you for a second, so, first, before you get too far gone. So he is not Barry Sanders.
I didn't say he was. I'm saying there's that element.
Okay, Ralph's taking shots at a Michigan State guy.
But hey.
If he's going to come up with those big plays every time, and that's another reason why the Steelers won. That's what I was trying to look for earlier, is that the Steelers have been very good at limiting big plays from opposing running back, other than Justin Forsett, which is the outlier who completely just they had no answer for. Every other running, and they've faced some pretty decent running backs. We're not talking about, you know, I mean, Hyde's had some big games, not against them.
In fact, Justin Forsett and Chris Johnson are fourth and fifth in rushing.
Todd Gurley putting up 180 a week.
Gurley's been good.
And he had like 8 yards against.
Yeah, he was his NFL debut, and they've been limiting those big plays from the opposing running backs by far. And there's not many carries over eight yards. I was trying to find that number that I had found earlier. And yet Le'Veon Bell every game is getting 22 yards. That's kind of a dynamic there. It's been a reason why the Steelers have been winning games too.
Well, you know what? Let's talk a second now, Mark.
Where are we going?
Kelvin Beachum.
Oh yeah.
Kelvin Beachum is a guy that you said he was undersized.
Yeah, he I feel bad good, for the
and
guy.
And yet he made 35 consecutive starts on the offensive line before the knee injury.
That's an ugly one too.
How's that going to? How's this going to impact? I think it's the offense altogether.
First of all, it's terrible for. Some you know, most of the time I don't really.
Nice
give a,
guy, by the way.
I don't give a crap what happens to play. You know, it's just what you are. Because sometimes whatever. Calvin Beecham's not that guy. I felt really bad for the guy because he was a seventh round pick, the fourth of seventh round pick. Fought his way, had all those things going against him. Right. His size is where he's school. And he fought his way, got in that lineup, pushed away a number two guy, Mike Adams, was ready to get paid in about 2 months, even if it was only $7 million a year or whatever. If it was a low end. He was getting paid. Mm-hmm. Now that's just terrible because it's up in the air. You don't know what's going to happen.
You don't think the Steelers are going to hang on
to
this game?
Could be. What could happen is this is in some way, and it sounds mean, it's good for the Steelers.
Yeah.
Now they can see if Villanueva is the guy. So they got a half a year to see if he's the guy that can replace Beachum. If he shows that he can't, then maybe you bring Beach back on. If I'm Beach, I'd say, hey, give me a one-year deal. Then I can go make money after that and whatever. So it's just a wait and see right now. Villanueva has all the talent. They go from the smallest left tackle to the biggest left tackle in a matter of one play.
I think the question is going to be a Steeler for a long time. Why? As long as Mike Tomlin is the coach of the Steelers,
that's a year injury though.
I think he likes it.
But Villanueva is a guy who's cheap, big, strong, potential. It's going to be huge. I mean, we're probably just blowing this off, and Villanueva hasn't showed up yet on Monday or Wednesday. But Tom Bawley, Justin Houston, they're going to be lined up on that right side of the defense, and they're going to say, big boy, let's see if you can stop us. And you know what? Run blocking is one thing. I mean, I could probably go in there and probably shield somebody to get some yards. Pass blocking something different. You honestly
get more delusional every
week. Oh, you know, you just have to get in front of somebody.
His knee, you can't even stand up without it.
Hypothetically.
Barely walk, right.
What I'm saying is,
he's going
to
block.
You don't have to knock somebody on their keister to have a good run block. You just get in their way, shield them. But when you're pass blocking, you better have technique, you better have good hands, you better have quickness, you better know what you're doing. And you got to have experience, and that's all the things that I don't know Villanueva has or not.
He's protecting the blind side of the only healthy quarterback of the team.
I understand.
You realize that.
I understand that. I assume that. And typically,
if they didn't sign any quarterback
more often
yesterday.
Than not, if they go max protect, they put Heath on the right side, so he might be a little bit out. They might have to help him out a little bit over there. I don't know. I think the big matchup of the game is those two rush ends against Villanueva.
I would say this. Linebackers. If Villanueva was better than Kelvin Beachum, he would have been blind. You know, my bottom line is I think Kelvin Beachum is developing to a very solid, more than serviceable offensive tackle in this league.
What makes him so good?
What makes
him so good is up here, man. The head,
very smart guy.
The film study, the preparedness.
He needed
that to compensate for his lack of size, strength, and all that. Now, if you get that mentality in Villanueva's body, then you have something happening.
But, you know, Mark, you mentioned about, you know, one of the things that, you know, we cover this and we look at, you know, the game. And sometimes you have to look at the personalities. And when I look at Kelvin Beachum, there's another guy who reminds me somewhat of Kelvin Beachum. Even though Beachum was a draft pick, you know, Robert Golden, you know, was an undrafted, you know, you're a free agent.
I mean, undrafted guys he got on this team.
Right. Woo. And here's a kid who's worked. He's worked and worked and worked his way. And it just, you know, Mike Tomlin, we talk about it all the time, this next man up mentality. But look at the safety position. It was supposed to be a job for Shamarco Thomas. He couldn't grab it. And then Will Allen, you know, 12 years in his league, wins the job. He goes down with an ankle injury. We don't know when he's going to come back.
It's not going to be this
week. And now Robert Golden steps in, you know, ahead of Shamarco Thomas. Robert Golden to me is another one of those underdog kind of players. You know, undrafted free agent, he excelled on special teams. No one was expecting anything. He's actually, Mark and Chris, started this training camp. And as he told me, starting training camp, he said, I don't know if I'm going to make the team. There was a lot of pressure on this kid just to make the team. And here he is now. You know, starting, and it was an impact player in that game on Sunday. Had eight tackles. Yeah. And I noticed today, a shameless promotion of the story which I wrote today on Robin Hood, is that he actually had two fewer tackles in that game on Sunday he had the entire first 3 years of his career. Now, so if this is what. This is part, I think, what's driving the defense, is that you have a lot of unheralded players who are actually being productive, whether it's Robert Golden, I don't know what you guys are doing, Antoine Blake.
Behind the scenes, baby. Check out the webcam
and even
to see what
Cam,
we're doing.
And even Cam Thomas, you know, stepped in, you know, when Stephon Tuitt was hurt and played well. You know, so there's a lot of these things on this team, and you wrote a couple weeks ago about, you know, this whole next man up mentality. We blow it out of proportion sometimes. But really, some unheralded players have really made a difference for this football.
When does the next man up just cease to have any effectiveness? When you're getting to the Cam Thomases and the
Ross Ventrones? If you would have told us that Robert Golden, because you're talking about –
And Cam Thomas would impact the defense.
The third string, by far the third – and actually, you know what, if you told us in July 25th, you might have thought that one of the other safeties, maybe Holloman as a draft pick or somebody else would have been on the safety
depth chart. Who was the other guy who did pretty well in camp? I forget his name.
What, Darby?
Darby, he was pretty decent.
Alden Darby?
You remember how close it was. We thought Golden was out for the season when he hurt his knee and he was screaming and
that was the
using four-letter F words in the middle of training camp because he thought his knee was done. I mean, eventually it gets to its breaking point. This week, Cam Thomas is going to be starting instead of Tuitt. LT Walton's going to be in there.
Yeah,
he had
really
Sean Spence in there. I mean, Antoine Blake for what he is, but he's still an undrafted guy that nobody wanted. Robert Golden, you just keep getting these no names getting thrown
in
there.
So all that said, Mark.
Villanueva, Cody Wallace. Right. Eventually it comes to its breaking point.
Okay, but all that said. I have one question for you. We'll get to this when we come back from break.
Uh-oh, that's a freaking tease.
We're going to have to somehow critique the job in which the defensive coordinator, Keith Butler, is doing. More on the Steelers Roundtable. We'll take a short break. We'll be right back.
Hey, Black and Gold fans. NFL Network analyst and recently retired Super Bowl champion Ike Taylor will be making an appearance and doing a live show at Tilt and Kilt in the North Shore on November the 6th at 8 p.m. That's November the 6th at 8 p.m. at Tilt and Kilt on the North Shore. Don't miss your opportunity to meet this legendary football champion and hear inside scoop on the team. Games, prizes, and the world-famous Kilt Girls serving up $4 Miller Lite 16-ounce drafts all day long. Brought to you by Miller Lite.
Go Planets from Mars National Bank. One true community bank. Online at marsbank.com.
Next Tier Personal and Business Banking. Next Tier loves football season two. Good luck to the area teams from Next Tier Bank. Online at nextierbank.com. Call 1-800-262-1088. That's 1-800-262-1088. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Now back to the Steelers Roundtable on Trip Live Radio.
Welcome back to the Steelers Roundtable. Ralph Park again flanked.
We shouldn't be flanked.
Yes, you are flanked.
We shouldn't be flanked if it's a round table.
I almost forgot his name. Chris Adamski and Mark Caboli.
Let's just call him Buzz.
You know, before the break, we talked about, let's for a second, not grade, but if we can, and generally speaking, I don't, not that I don't care what coaches think, but I'd rather talk to players. And maybe that's why they only show up once a week.
They didn't show up at all yesterday morning, did they?
let's for a second evaluate the job that Keith Butler, if you can in some way, evaluate what he's done as a defense coordinator, considering he's had to do putting together a lot of pieces and parts for this defensive unit to go. And some of that, some of the success, let's be frank, you have to credit Mike Tomlin, you know, with a lot of the stuff that's going on, because ultimately he has to make a lot of decisions about a lot of things. But as a first-year defense coordinator, that's a great deal of adversity for him to have to deal with right off the start with all the injuries and trying to plug pieces in here and there.
Yeah, I think that's aspect of it is not to take – I'm not taking credit away from Keith Butler saying this, but you have to give credit. The players are making plays that in the past – I don't know if it's Dick LeBeau's fault that, you know, Ike Taylor wasn't holding on to balls the last couple of years, or Mike Mitchell wasn't holding on to balls.
Nowhere near the ball.
I don't know if a lot of that stuff – so these guys are making – I think Tua's taking a step in his development. I think Cameron Hayward taking a step up. So I think
– But he put those guys I'm
getting there. I am not put – and if you heard some of the things Phillip Rivers and Carson Palmer said. These are veteran quarterbacks with more than 10 years in the league, and you can take your shots at either one of them, especially maybe Palmer. Even though they've lasted this long, for having propensity to make mistakes. However, they both sort of alluded to the fact they didn't know, you know, they were confused. They were surprised by something, by a look, and that led to turnovers, that led to big plays. Hey, the results are what they are. Like I said, the defense has the eye test has been better. I don't know what the yardage number is compared to last year. It probably is up. But the points are pretty considerably down.
As Tom would say, I'll let you worry about the style points.
That's
what he told me on Tuesday.
Tom would say about Keith Butler, he's a 4-2 defensive coordinator is what he would say, right? Right? Is that what he would say?
It depends on what you ask. It's been a little salty.
And how you ask.
Your thoughts. Can you credit Keith Butler with a lot of what's going on right now?
I think you have to. I mean, they've changed some things. I mean, first of all, what happened to this great cover two that we're all talking about? You rarely see it. See a little bit of 4-3. It's just, I think he's blitzing a lot of people and getting these guys to, I mean, let's don't underestimate them purging themselves of some, lack of better terms, dead weight. I wouldn't say dead weight with Paul Malouike and Kate Kiesel, but guys that weren't going to get any better, they peaked already. They were going backwards. At least these guys have a chance of going forward. And I think a big key this week will be Buzzsaw's buddy Ryan Shazier. Ryan Shazier is going to return. I still think he's going to split some time Sean Spence. But I think this is – if you start getting some of these guys back – you know what I'm worried about, too? I mean, the secondary, I mean, they put themselves in that situation by not signing anybody or not drafting anybody. I guess they couldn't figure that Cinquez Golson was going to get hurt. But my goodness, look forward for a second, you happen to see who's under contract in this secondary next year? Blake, unrestricted. Gay, unrestricted. Cockrell, unrestricted. Boykin, unrestricted free agent. They have anybody else even left?
Cortez Allen signed.
Cortez Allen. Here's another one. Hey, Buzz, why don't you – Buzz talked to Cortez Allen. Here's a classic one yesterday. Cortez Allen was sitting in Tyler Murphy's locker, so everybody thought Cortez Allen was Tyler Murphy, and they were asking him about throwing the ball. But, Buzz, you did have a conversation a little bit with Cortez. Take us through the awkwardness of some of the answers. And could you read in between the lines with some of those?
Yeah, I hate –
this is a good one, Ralph.
To let the readers decide for themselves or the listeners decide for themselves, but maybe I should say it, present it without
– The tough thing is the words say one thing, but the look and the tone says probably another.
Yeah, and kind of the pauses he took at appropriate times. And, you know, he's asked about his injury, and he always said it's a coach common question, which they're all trained to do. They're all like trained circus animals. Well, that's the way they answer.
I wonder if they get fined if they don't.
That's a Coach Tomlin question. That's a Coach Tomlin. You have to ask Coach Tomlin about that. So that's on that level. So anything about injury, okay. Now we know Cortez Allen. He's gone through weeks where he fully practiced a couple times. Okay, it's pretty clear that they love Ross Cockrell at this point, and for good reason. He played well. It's pretty clear that I don't think if Cortez Allen's 100% that they're going to put him back as a starting corner, right? I mean, am I wrong on that?
I think at 100%, I'm not sure if he's going to be
I think the only
back
way he gets back if there's an
injury.
I mean,
I, I,
I think if there's an injury to Blake this week, you'll probably see Boykin over Cortez, right?
And that it's almost like the two guys that are more, I don't know, say in the doghouse on how to put it, but like they don't want to use either one of them. It's clear either they don't trust them or whatever
Cortez
it is. They lost confidence or they never had Boykin, but
right.
But it's like yes, we're gonna find out how far either Cortez Owen or Brandon Boykin's fallen.
But
did you get the feel, Buzz, that when you were talking to him, then he was saying, I'm healthy. I'm ready to go. Coach doesn't want me out there almost.
Which is exactly what Shazier said last week.
So long for you. Has it just been a long stretch to get over the injury? 3-second pause. 2-second pause.
Did you time it?
Yes.
Okay.
The situation is what it is. And 4-second pause. That's probably just a question better answered by Coach Tomlin.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now he asks again, are you frustrated? He says, I have my feelings about, not being able to do, but I have to stay mentally in it so I can be humble.
Is this a coaching technique, though? You know, you're getting under their skin and it's like, I'll show that SOB. I'm going to go out. I mean, is this a technique?
But part
he's
part
done
of
it more
coaching,
than once.
Part of coaching is psychology.
Yes.
You know, it is getting players mentally fit to play. It was a physical fit. And right now, Cortez Allen isn't mentally prepared to play football. That's just the bottom line.
Asked, what was your frustration level with not being able to go on the field? Frustration level on a scale to what? He says, I try to stay positive all the time. You'll never really see me mad because I'm a big picture guy. So if I can't do something here, there's always somewhere else I can help. And it, kind of goes
somewhere is another team or another special.
Well, it doesn't open anymore. No, it's like
put it this way.
Other special teams. As a nickelback, as a safety. Hey, as I say, he should be playing.
I think
the first
unless game. Something happens, this might be the final stretch of Cortez Allen's career.
But
here
he got
in
paid nonetheless. Now, let's move on to this game on Sunday because we already talked about it a lot. We kind of brushed through it a little bit.
Who are they playing?
But the Kansas City Chiefs on the road. This is a team that, to me,
looking forward to good
I'm very disappointed in the fact that they're 1-5. I'm sure Andy Reid, when he looked at his schedule, looked at his team coming back, that he anticipated, especially with defensively and having the pieces in place offensively, especially the offensive line, a couple of number one draft picks. Alex Smith is very comfortable with the offense. Then you lose Jamal Charles, but they have a good tight end in Travis Kelce. They tried to upgrade their receiver when they picked up Jeremy Maclin.
He got knocked out the other day, though.
It's just amazing to me, then, is that this team is 1-5, and it just goes to show you, this team has lost the kind of games in which we think the Steelers could have easily lost. Instead of winning them, they're on the other end of it. I mean, I look at these two teams, Kansas City and the Steelers, and I say, in many ways, if you take away, I think the Steelers are obviously a better offensive unit. Is that they're even in some ways. At least that's what you think. And that they were going to Kansas City. And I got to say, when I went through that schedule, I thought, this is a game they most definitely was going to lose. Now I can't say that. What has gone wrong in Kansas City with the exception of all the injuries?
Has it gone wrong? They've lost to Denver, who's undefeated. They lost to Green Bay, who's undefeated. They lost to the Bengals, who are undefeated.
But they also lost to the Bears at home.
Well, they lost but by one point.
You got to win a couple of games.
They lost three games. They lost one, two, three games by a touchdown or less, and three of those games were.
So you're saying this is the ultimate.
I'm saying they're probably good.
Steelers.
Yes, absolutely. Bengals coming up on the road, feeling good about yourself. I mean, Kansas City reminds me of Baltimore in a way. Is where's their weapons at now? I mean, if Macklin's out, I don't even know who their second receiver is. Buzz, I have no idea who it is, and I probably should know. Who their second receiver?
Shipped Wayne Bowe off to Cleveland.
Who?
So.
And he can't even get dressed there.
Wow, the second. You don't count the Anthony Thomas as a receiver, right?
I don't even know who their number two on the depth chart is. Jason Avon?
Jason Avon, he has 7 catches all year. Yeah. Like, he's literally their second
highest. I can't even
pronounce their starting running back's first name. What's his name? Changereri or something like that? Him and Nile Davis and Kelce and Alex Smith.
Yeah, what happened to Nile Davis?
He must have lost. He had
a great rookie season.
I thought he was.
But it's just so setting up for just a – just a freaking fart in the tub, man. I'm telling you. I mean, everybody has this thought.
I think the FCC let you get away with that one.
Listen.
That's borderline.
If Landry Jones does not throw that 88-yard touchdown pass or whatever, and he's still
– now you sound like
if he's still – say he's 7 of 11 for 68
That's
yards or whatever.
David Gason to Brent.
Do you – if I told you Landry Jones going into Arrowhead Stadium – to lead this team, and you'd be like, yes, we're going to win this one. No. Landry Jones didn't all of a sudden become
How
good.
Did he get back to Landry Jones?
What I'm saying is this game is a trap, not a trap game. I would even favor the Chiefs in this game. I don't even know what the line is, but I would say the Chiefs
are favored. I would imagine the Steelers are probably touchdown favorite this game.
I don't know why. Landry Jones is your quarterback.
It doesn't matter. The Steelers are 4-2. And look at the games. They won on the road. They beat St. Louis, and they probably should have lost. They beat San Diego on the road.
Landry Jones stinks.
Pittsburgh, a 2-point favorite, according to
I would never say. I wouldn't say that.
So Steelers 2.5 on the road, favorite.
It's on Vegas.
Well, Landry Jones, quarterback.
Consensus is -2, Pittsburgh.
Landry Jones.
But the team has lost 5 in a row. I am with you. I'm not at all. So, however, you also just made a case against it by saying, yes, Landry Jones, but it's Alex Smith, which is more proven than Landry Jones. But who the heck does he have to throw to? I mean, if you gave Alex Smith, Martavis Bryant, and Antonio Brown,
yeah,
and Le'Veon Bell, and Marcus
17-15 final,
Heath Miller,
9-6 final,
yeah, you
12-9 final. I'm telling you, man, this is not going to be easy.
Alex Smith. Wait, hold on a second.
Would you rather have Alex Smith or Landry Jones, Ralph?
Alex Smith is the same quarterback put in the same vein with Carson Palmer, Andy Dalton. Who's having a great year, by the way.
Number one overall pick.
And the highly overrated Joe Flacco. You know, Alex Smith, when he had weapons in San Francisco, was just a mere average quarterback.
Buzz, while you're there real quick, why don't you look up Alex Smith's numbers last year when he played the Steelers? Go ahead.
But Alex Smith, I think what he is, he's steady for them. He understands the system, and he hasn't missed any games in Kansas City. Now, but the bottom line is the Steelers will be playing a team without their biggest threat. Yeah, you cannot underestimate how important Jamal Charles is to that offense. Whether it's in the run game, the passing game, everything. You know, it's a huge piece of the offense that's left. And I think one of the things that the Steelers have done over the past couple of weeks is they've dealt with the other team's best player. You know, with Arizona, in many ways, they took away Larry Fitzgerald. Oh, they hurt him a couple of times. They took away Chris Johnson. You know, and in San Diego, you know, Philip Rivers have basically an average game. You know, it's just one of those deals where I think now you're going against it. The Steelers, more than anything, I think they've figured out a way to game plan against the team's very best player. In this game, you know, there's no one obvious player that they have to stop other than Travis Kelce.
Are they going to
tight end?
But are they going to be able to score?
I mean, against the Chiefs' defense?
Yes. Are they going to be able to score now? We're talking about
I guess I'm not as sold on the Kansas City defense as most.
Repeat after me. Landry Jones. He struggled with – he's not an accurate passer. Against the Cardinals, he threw about 5 very accurate passes. That can go away real quick.
Before our listeners get the wrong idea about me and Landry Jones, it's not that I think Landry Jones is a great quarterback or a good quarterback. What I think Landry Jones is, and the reason why the Steelers have held on to him and why he was promoted to, you know, to this job and they're still going out and get someone else to play, is that I think what Landry Jones gives them, he understands the offense. And he showed that. Whether he's going to be able to make plays, I don't know. But if he can go through his progressions, make his reads, that's all I really want of him. Can he hand the ball off to Le'Veon Bell? Sure he can. You know, so I think the idea is that Landry Jones, don't hurt us in this game. Don't force a pass. Don't force, you know, things in where this Kansas City defense, they get up and going and they feed off momentum the same as the Steelers defense does. You know, Steelers give up more yards than Kansas City. Where is Kansas City ranked defensively, Buzz, since you get the numbers?
He is Mr. Stats, man. I thought he was Mr. X and O's. Now he's Mr. Stats guy.
How about the Steelers facing random facts? Facing number one overall draft pick two weeks in a row. Facing a first-round draft pick 3 years in a row at quarterback. 3 weeks in a row at quarterback.
You know what? You know what? We probably should get the up and down knowing the Buzz is going to take about 7 minutes with his.
You want me to look up Alex Smith against the Steelers last year, 31 of 45 for 311 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions.
Man, I'm telling you. I'm going to see run the ball.
Oh, come on.
I bet you he ran the ball decent, too.
Since you mentioned it, what are your ups and downs?
My ups. My downs.
Buzz does his research.
We'll do my downs. My downs are going to be Landry Jones.
You are
Jones.
A negative guy today.
I'm going to go Landry Jones.
First.
Landry Jones, baby. I just don't think he's going to be capable of going in there.
He gives a guy down after he comes in, throws two touchdown passes in the second half.
This is a bigger point.
Carry you to victory is a down.
This is a serious question. Is the philosophy up or down? Is that, are we looking at the last, up till now, or are we predicting the future?
Whatever
with
you want.
I think it's got to be a little bit of both.
Or is this upper interpretation?
Still, I'm not, I'm whatever. I'm saying he's going to be down heading into this game. My up. Yeah, who should we go with up? I wanted to go with Mike Mitchell, but I blew that one already. So I'm going to go up with I have a feeling Heath Miller's going to make an arrival, even though Heath Miller's been absent. You know what? Forget that. I'm going up Ben Roethlisberger. The guy is darn close to coming back. We'll be back next week against Cincinnati.
I think there's a fit
up
criteria.
Him down there.
There's
I don't
a
even know.
Criteria, but anyway, go
this
ahead.
Could be the worst up and down ever by me. But Landry
I'm
down.
I'm going to redefine what ups and downs
are.
I'm going to work on this week.
Well, I was already you stole my thunder by making me go through the Cortez Allen thing. The Cortez Allen's down because
don't
you know
pick on a guy who's already
played.
Down.
He hasn't played forever.
I'm
saying is he's down. The coaches have clearly they're completely phasing him out in every way. They're like
Shamarcus too.
Very disappointed.
I am really curious to see if Blake doesn't play, who plays Boykin or Allen? Because both of them have fallen, for whatever reason, are so much out of coach's favor right now that I'm curious to see who actually does play. And the air up, you got Chris Boswell. Come on, man. Come on. A kid comes off the street and all of a sudden stabilizes.
You ever watch Varsity Blues? Coach, what's his name? I can't remember his name. Coach, whatever. He hated Johnny Moxon, thought he was a bum. But once the starting quarterback got hurt, he was kissing Johnny Moxon's butt. That's going to be Mike Tomlin when a cornerback gets hurt. They're going to kiss Cortez
down,
Allen's butt.
I missed it. What was your down?
Cortez Allen is the down.
And you up is?
And Chris Boswell is the up.
He's going kicker and bench player.
Oh,
Ralph,
oh,
save us, Ralph, because it's been
you
bad.
Ben Roethlisberger up. He hasn't played 4 weeks.
This is unbelievable.
So, yes, he's on his way up. This is bad.
Right,
you got
to
help
us.
I'm
to save you guys this week.
Yes,
there's
you
no
are.
Doubt. The up, and see, I'm very positive guy. Up is Cam Hayward. Because I have been on this case for the longest about he's just not making
any. Is that
points.
Why you're wearing eye black today?
But, that's a good idea. I would say that Cam Hayward played in the last couple of weeks. He's been pretty good. He's been more aggressive. I think he's gone at the quarterback more. Even just getting the sack, he's collapsing the pocket. Against the run, he's been very good. And I think both the defensive ends, including Stephon Tuitt, have been good against the run. And so was Cam Thomas when he came in. But Cam Hayward is definitely my up. And I would say that I think he dealt with this entire thing about, wearing the patch in honor of his father and the NFL, which is a stupid rule, by the way. I just want to throw it out there. Uniform rules are one thing, but that is kind of out there. My down? Boy, I tell you, punter? No. That is, that's a real upper because my team did win the game. So I'm very proud of the Spartans in the miracle way in which they won that game. But my doubt would be the offensive line in run blocking. You see, now I just created a whole new rule because now I'm thinking about, the way they got the job
done. Now we're
doing
units,
not
people.
If you're a Steeler fan, you should be concerned about the number of negative yards or negative plays in no games by Le'Veon Bell, one of the best running backs in this league. 7-8 plays to get over the line of
scrimmage.
Story
to me, huh?
That's very concerning.
All right, I think we got to go because Mike Barker's giving us a freaking evil eye.
We appreciate you, as always, joining us here on the Steeler Roundtable on a beautiful Thursday morning. We'll talk with you next week.
It's beautiful.
Duffy's Beer and much more in Pleasant Hills. 412-653-BEER. See all of our weekly specials at duffysbeer.com. And get your pumpkin and Oktoberfest beers before they're gone. Your South Hills headquarters for beer, pop, snacks, vapes, home brewing supplies, and all your party and tailgating needs for this week's game. Duffy's Beer and much more in Pleasant Hills. And online at duffysbeer.com.